We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day, Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Final hour here. Dave Archer going to be with us in about 25 minutes from right now. Talk some Falcons with Arch. Falcons are 500, Randy.
I know, man.
Chance to get back over 500 for the first time in a while coming up on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Talk to Arch about how exactly they're going to do that. The AMA at 140. Any question, any topic, you could text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Tweet us. At TBM929, at RandyMac81, at Brian_Gebhardt, at Wendy Radio. We'll get the phone lines open in about 45 minutes as well. Any question, any topic, we'll get to what's trending in just a few minutes, too.
What a joke this whole thing with the whole Washington football team not releasing the emails. Just see that that Mark Davis, who still ain't done that with his head. Damn Mark Davis and that haircut. It's just
how can you be that rich and have
that? How can you be that rich and have that haircut?
I just don't understand.
But he's like, yeah. Why can't y'all made me fire my coach?
Right.
I mean, why can't we see him? I understand right. The confidentiality and all that, man. And as we were talking earlier, I mean, I don't think it's anything in there bad enough that the league would crumble or nothing, Andy. But it'd take it like one of them big old like right hands and put you back on your heels.
Yeah, the NFL is so powerful,
yeah.
And there's so many things at play. It's not going to undo the league.
Right.
But, yeah, some powerful players in the league might get gone.
Like, yeah.
It could be possible. And, of course, that's why they're trying to conceal them. That's why they're protecting them. That's why they're paying lawyers millions and millions of dollars to do their legal gymnastics to make sure that they never see the light of day. If I was Mark Davis, I'd be pretty mad, too, though. Because that was a mafia hit, what happened to Gruden.
Yeah.
And not to say that Gruden did not. It was. I mean,
it was.
The NFL orchestrated the release of those emails so John Gruden would take the brunt of this thing. And thankfully, the public is smart enough to realize that that's not good enough. Okay, that was bad what he did. Fire him. But that doesn't get. That's not going to end this thing. People are like, no. Who else? You know? Because the thing about the NFL being so big and powerful and popular and vital to a lot of cities in the United States is, you know, we're invested in this thing, man. Like tax money and time and emotion and all kinds of different things in the teams that you root for. That people want to know what's going on. It's not elected officials. I understand that, but these people are pretty damn powerful. Like the people that run NFL teams are as powerful, if not more so, than some of the elected officials in their home markets.
Right.
We want to know who they are. I think that that's fair as an NFL public.
It's crazy, man. And he must have lost like a lifelong bet that he has to keep his hair like that. And I just can't stop looking at it.
There's no other explanation.
I can't stop looking at it.
There's no other explanation.
Like that looks like the bowl cuts that me used to have.
Yeah.
And we came up, our moms, they had no money.
Exactly.
That's why we had bowl money. Cuts.
They did it themselves. I was 12. I didn't know any different. This is a grown man with a lot of money. Here's the problem, though, with people that rich sometimes. You don't have anybody close to you that'll be honest with you. Now he's got to have a mirror at some point. Like the mirror doesn't lie to you, unless maybe he's so rich he had all the mirrors in his house fixed
that
too,
could be
so
it.
He looks super handsome when he looks in it. Yeah, I don't know how to explain that haircut.
Yeah, I don't either, man. Let's just trend out of that one.
Well, okay, let's like trend that. Out of that one and trend into all these topics and what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Here's one slammed into left field. How about that start to the World Series? Soler will take the trip, And he puts Atlanta up one zip with a first swing of the Fall Classic. Case, here is Riley with a ball into left center field. It's going to make it 2-0. Cut off by McCormick, but it's an RBI double, and the Braves have come up flying here in game one.
Yeah, the Braves got after old Framber early in the game last night. First leadoff home run ever in World Series history, courtesy of Jorge Soler. In one of the most disrespectful swings I've ever seen. Just absolutely tried to murder that baseball, and he did.
It was so disrespectful. And I think I try to think about like disrespectful movie swings. Like, you remember Mr. Baseball when the dude hit the ball? Like, get out of here!
That's a great call.
Get out of here!
Well, like Clue Haywood. Clue Haywood had some disrespectful swings
like,
in Major
disrespectful.
League.
Disrespectful?
That was what that was last night from Jorge Soler. And the thing about it was, I meant to ask Paul Vert about this, I forgot. Like, we're talking about a young pitcher who clearly, I mean, look, he you could kind of see it on his face beforehand. He just looked, the moment was there for him. He talked about it after the game. Like, he was feeling the moment, the nerves, all that kind of stuff. You go out there in the third, now the first two pitches you throw miss. You didn't quite have the location that you had last time out against the Red Sox when he was very good, by the way.
He struggled. Remember, though, he struggled his first time he played the Sox.
Right.
So,
right. And then
I ain't saying it. Yeah. Yeah. I ain't saying that.
Yeah, no, he's going to be back. If the series goes long enough, he'll pitch again. I heard people talking about, can you throw him back out there? Yeah, he got rocked by the Red Sox, and they put him out there again. He went 8 innings, and he was fantastic. But to miss twice and then throw a strike and have that happen, and you already were kind of feeling the nerves, I mean, that's it. And you could see it. He just didn't have it. He was totally rattled on the mound last night, sweating bullets and all that, and the Braves got to him. Good on the Braves. But, yeah, Framber Valdez, the moment was too big for him last night, it appeared.
Yeah, I mean, it was. You know, you would have thought Dusty might have took him out earlier or something. Maybe I thought, you know, because kid, he just was not locating anything. And the Braves took advantage of it. They took full advantage of it, and they were able to get out early enough because once that bullpen came in, it was no haps. It was a hit here, a hit there.
That's right.
But nothing really threatening from the Braves. I mean, you had a couple of instances where you had a couple guys on base with two outs and everything like that. And, you know, it's crazy we haven't talked about it. What a damn slide by Dansby last night.
It was.
What a hell of a slide by him.
Just a gutsy go anyway. Like him and Wash.
He said he was going.
He was going. Yeah.
He said he was
that
going.
That was a shallow fly ball, man.
And he said he was going. So, hey, go ahead then, Dansby. And, I mean, what a hell of a slide that he had and everything. But, yeah, they got after the young fella pretty damn good. And, you know, they're coming in tonight with a pitcher who hasn't pitched in 23 days. Mm-hmm. It's either rest or rest. What do you call it? Rust over rest.
You rust out before you wear out.
Okay.
Is what he would say. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about Jose Urquidy. Like, I think we've been selling him a little bit short just sort of in talking about that because that is true. He hasn't pitched. He's pitched once in 3.5 weeks. That's a long time. And he did not do well in that start. I think it was game 3 against the Red Sox. The reason he hasn't pitched is just because of the rotation. Like Lance McCullers would be in this spot, would have, and would have, you know, was in that spot last time. He didn't not pitch because he's not good. The rotation just didn't come around to him. This is also a guy who pitched in the World Series in 2019 and had a 5-inning shutout performance against Boston. So he's been in big games.
I got a question for you.
Too.
Why hasn't he pitched in 23 days?
Just because of the rotation.
The rotation.
They swept in the first round and he didn't come up in the rotation. And then last series, he pitched in game 3, and then by the time he came back around, they had won the series.
Damn, it's been 23 days since game 3 of the Red Sox.
No. It's not that he hasn't pitched in 23 days. He's only pitched once in 23
days.
Oh,
I got you. Okay, my bad. Okay. I was thinking of my calculations in my head, bro. I was like, hold on, man.
Yeah, he's pitched once since October 3rd.
Got you.
That was the final pit start he made against the Athletics. Again, just to sort of give him some of, you know, some respect, because he's a good pitcher. You're not going out there against a guy who's just out there, oh, God, the Astros are throwing out some guy no one's ever heard of. He's a good, pretty good pitcher. I mean, pretty solid ERA this year. He was, I think, at an 8-3 record, something like that. So it's not some slappy who's out there on the mound today for Houston. Not to say that the Braves can't and shouldn't get after him, but he's a good starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. It's just been a strange leading up of events that have had him only start one time in the last 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
There you have it.
Yeah,
here's Max Fried, who's pitching for the Braves.
This is what, you know, you dream about as a kid, you know, from the time that I started playing, you dream about playing in the World Series, but at the end of the day, you have to know what got you here, and, you know, I got a lot of really good guys that are going to be able to be there and support me and got my back.
Yeah, that's right. Max Fried has been up and down in the postseason so far. Yep. Last week, we had this same conversation of great spot for the Braves. Max, full rest, chance to close it out, all that. And he went out there and didn't pitch particularly well against the Dodgers. Got to have it tonight for a lot of different reasons. Bullpen was taxed last night, got a chance to go up 2-0 on the road. Max is your best pitcher. You need him to be your best pitcher tonight.
You need him to possibly, Andy, to when we come in here tomorrow, to say he's the best player in the game today. He's best player in the game last night. That's what we should say tomorrow. Because if it's his straight domination, and I'm going to look out for it early. The ball's going to Austin Riley. You best believe I am. You know, but he got to get you 7 because of the fact is that you used Mr. a long time yesterday. You used, Magic may be able to go, but he's pitching every game except for one in the whole entire playoffs. I mean, 7s, can he go give you maybe any? We need him to go out there today and look like Max Fried, the best pitcher in the second half, not in the National League, but in baseball. That's what we need. And he owes us one. All right, and I'm tongue-in-cheek when I say Yo's one, but no, he needs to go out there because we were sitting there waiting. Okay, Max Fried, regular rest, winner take all.
Bullpen bam. Game for the Dodgers.
Bullpen game for the Dodgers, all this, yep. And it got away early and often.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, he's a guy who's been through a lot of, he's been in baseball long enough. Maybe that moment of, because it seemed like there was a little bit more going on than just he didn't quite have it against the Dodgers. The anxiety of pitching at home, whatever. He talked about having 60 tickets he gave out to family, wanting to close it out and send the Braves to the World Series, all that kind of stuff. Maybe there was some extra, you know, layers of what went into that game last time he was out there that caught up to him. Sometimes when that happens, next time out, you're like, man, I got to not let that happen, you know, and you can be a little bit more free because right. It's not the same situation. But you're right. That would have been a closeout game to send him to the World Series. They're here. But now you got a chance to go up 2-0 and bring it home and have Ian Anderson on the mound. What you were talking about was what Paul Byrd told us when we talked to him in the noon hour, which was when Max Fried is going, like when he's peak second half of the season this year, best pitcher, one of the best pitchers in baseball, Max Fried, he's locating that slider down and in the right-handed batters, and he's getting a lot of weak contact to Austin Riley. Yep. He's an excellent ground ball pitcher, Max Fried, when he's at his best. Hopefully we see that tonight. You can strike some guys out, too, if you want to. Get that curveball going because that thing's nasty. But that's one thing to watch for. If you see a lot of weak contact to the left side of the infield early in this game, that means Max Fried has it going. Let's listen to Jordan Davis. Haven't spent as much time on Georgia-Florida this week as we normally would, understanding that the Braves are in the World Series. Here's Jordan Davis talking about actually getting to play in this game this year.
Florida is always a game that we anticipate and look forward to, especially after the bye week. Sitting out, you know, it was hard. I felt like I could have done some things against Florida. Maybe, you know, not going to say it's all on one person, but, you know, at least help the team, you know, whatever way I can. But, you know, but this year, you know, that's the past. But this year we want to move forward, and I feel like we're putting our great foot forward. We got our legs under our cells now, so we're just going to keep moving forward and do the best we can.
Yeah, man. He's obviously a huge factor in what Georgia does on Saturday. He couldn't play last year. He was banged up.
Right.
And everybody remembers what happened in that game. Georgia got off to a good start. Rosemy Jack-Saint breaks his leg catching a touchdown. Stetson gets banged up. And Florida's offense, which was really good, put on an onslaught.
This is going to be a fun football game because, you know, Florida is Georgia's rival. I mean, we all know that. I mean, you can base it off different teams or whoever you ask. But I think this is a rivalry game that you're going to get the best. This is Florida. All the Florida players want it just as bad as all the Georgia players want it. Georgia is better than Florida. They're better than Florida. But because of the rivalry, because you have a quarterback that can do so many different things with the ball in his hand. I'm talking about Richardson. I think he's going to be a starter. I think he's going to play majority of snaps for Florida. The dude is dynamic as a runner. Can throw the football, but you can't let him get the best plays. Florida is still one of the top rushing teams in ball right now. They're still one of the top 5 rushing teams. So they're going to have to establish a run because they're not going to sit back and just drop back and beat Georgia with him playing quarterback. They're going to have to find ways to run ball. But, yeah, Georgia's better. Want to see who's going to be the quarterback in this game for Georgia. I think both will play, Andy. Mm-hmm. Just want to know who's going to play the most.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting in this game and down the stretch is obviously the health of JT Daniels and, you know, respecting the success that Stetson Bennett has had. You know that Kirby does and how he plays that. Who starts, who plays how much, and all that kind of stuff. I'm also interested to see. This is something we've seen some of these coaches do against Georgia over the last handful of weeks. They know that they're outmanned in terms of what they can do offensively versus Georgia's defense. You can't. Kentucky is one of the best run teams in the country. They couldn't do a damn thing on the ground against Georgia, okay? Mm-hmm. So they pulled out the kitchen sink.
And that's what Dan Mullen's going to do.
Dan Mullen's going to be kitchen sinking his backside off in this game.
Oh, I like that right there. But no, he got he has, and they got 2 weeks, Andy. He's had two, no. Yeah, he's had, yeah.
Yeah, they had to buy two.
They had to buy two. So he's had 2 weeks to put together. Now, Dan Mullen, his face looked like the bottom of a cleat. Can't stand on, want to punch it right in it. But I cannot take away from the fact that this man is a hell of an offensive play caller. He really, really is. And I'm sure that he has got a whole new playbook full of stuff. Like, remember on Waterboy and that little green little tablet? I'm sure Dan Mullen, because that's how he stands.
The secret playbook.
That's how he stands with his play sheet. He stands just like old coach did right there. But, yeah. But, I mean, it's going to be a fun game. Can't wait for it. Georgia, Florida is always a rivalry game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just think Georgia is better.
Yeah, they are.
I'm better, and they're playing at a different level of focus because, yes, they know they're playing Florida, but to them, they're playing the guy, they're playing to a standard against another team.
I think they're going to beat the hell out of them. I've said that like 5 weeks in a row, and I haven't been wrong. I think they're going to beat the hell out of them. All right, here's Nate McMillan talking about his basketball team. They got a game tonight against the Pelicans. What worked the last time out, second half against the Pistons?
I thought we did a little better job second half of controlling the basketball. At the half, they had 26 points in the paint, and we gave up 54 points in the paint our last game. You know, so that was an area we wanted to do a better job, challenging the catch, the dribble, but squaring our shoulders and keeping the ball in front of us.
That'll be tonight on V103, by the way, 7 o'clock pregame. Atlanta United's got a game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be fun to see the Hawks get back out there against the Pelicans on the road. And it was impressive in the second half the other night against the Pistons.
They were great.
Granted, the Pistons were kind of without some of their best guys, but whatever. Trey looked fantastic.
They were great the other night. You saw a couple of things. I thought I heard Travis Lang, on with John and Hugh talking about just some of the things they need to work on, especially the ISO ball. The team is a lot more fun when they're moving the ball around and things like that. But I thought, they were outstanding defensively and offensively. John Collins has been playing, the best I've seen him play, just as far as overall. You can tell he's improved on his offensive game during the offseason.
When's Zion going to play? Not going to be tonight.
Oh, no. I don't know, man. I thought they said like 2 weeks after the season opener he would be reevaluated.
Okay.
Yeah, so I say Zion back by Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about him
tonight. Almost positive New Orleans got a – no, I'm not positive. Do they have a Christmas Day game because of Zion?
I don't think so. Maybe, okay. But I don't think so. All right, Dave Archer is going to join us next.
Who's on that team? Him and
– Brandon Ingram.
Brandon, that's right. And the crying boy. What's his name?
Who cried?
Remember, because he cried because he didn't get in the
Oh, yeah, Jackson Hayes?
Yeah, him crying and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the crying boy. Yeah, that is him. Dave Archer is going to join us next. Talk some Falcons. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 20 minutes away from the AMA to wrap things up. Still plenty of time to get your AMA questions in, either on the text line or on Twitter. We'll get the phone lines open in 20 minutes as well. 1:20 on Wednesdays means Dave Archer joins the show from the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Arch, how are you?
What up, Arch?
I'm great, guys. How can we not be great? We get the
We get the Braves with a W. We get the Falcons are back to 500. My Iowa State Cyclones knocked off the Cowboys this weekend. Well, it could be better.
Everything's coming up, Dave.
Hey, I mean, everything's coming up, Dave, man. Hey, it's the Iowa State game was unbelievable. Such a great football game and everything. And I was, you know, I kind of had some almost some decades on y'all, and I'm glad you.
You almost did, or you did?
Well, I had him as my upset special.
Oh, okay. You picked him on the radio.
Yes, I did.
Dave,
if you remember last week, Randy, you asked me about that 7 points, and I said, "Yeah, I don't like the 7 points." See, you could have taken the Cowboys in the points. You need a one. See,
I know.
Hey, I know we always talk about, and rightfully so, like football players considered the toughest of athletes, but you got to have a lot of respect for a pitcher who pitches 16 pitches and gets outs and strikes guys out with a broken leg, don't you?
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it harkens back to, who was it, Jack Youngblood that played in the Super Bowl with a broken leg?
Right.
I mean, it's one of those scenarios where he obviously didn't know, it feels a little weird, but I'll go play. And He ended up pitching to three or four more guys before they decided to pull him out.
Yeah.
It was like 16 more pitches, man. I mean, I thought it was just tough as hell, Dave, because you know, that ball coming off your leg like that. And then for it to hit you hard enough to break something, yeah, that's toughness.
Fluky, too.
It's just like you getting kicked by the tackle and they tell you to stay in and block, and you didn't do it much. But when you stayed in to help protect and that tackle kicked out and kicked you in the leg, felt just like Charlie Morton getting hit with a ground ball, probably.
No doubt about it, Dave. Got the cleat track marks on the lower part of my legs to prove it.
All right, since we're talking about tight ends, let's talk about Kyle Pitts. Did you see him being this good this fast, Dave?
No, I don't think it was reasonable. I think that everybody wanted him to be. Certainly, Andy, the talent is there. But I think that you felt like that as many places as they wanted to put him, as much as he's had to absorb, and we've talked about it here on your show, and Randy will tell you, I mean, when you're a versatile dude like Randy was or like this guy is, I mean, they're going to line you up everywhere. They want to try to maximize those opportunities. That takes a while to learn that, and then all the adjustments that go with those routes in those particular positions. So, no question that his ability to absorb the offense and then to be able to kind of relax and just play football.
Right.
It's been fun to watch the last couple times out.
Dave, has it been more of the game plan scheming for him to be open or to get the one-on-one matchups, or is it how the defenses are actually lining up against him?
Well, it's probably a combination of both, Randy. I mean, you know, you're going to kind of react to how they decide to play you. When they take him and they go that 3-by-1 set and push him outside by himself, who are they going to put on him? They went Eric Rowe to start off with, their third corner. That didn't work out very well. And in the last series, they moved their best corner over there. Xavier Howard took him in those last two plays. It didn't matter. So you can go find whoever you want to cover him until you decide you're going to try to double him and take him away. And be careful with that now, because I think 18 and 14 are pretty good too. So he's to the point, Randy, where you kind of get excited. You see the performance and what he can do, but now his ability to affect game planning week to week. Because you could bet they're in Carolina right now saying, we've got to do something to cover this monster that's number 8, and that's going to take probably two players. One jamming him at the line of scrimmage trying to prevent him from getting off, and another one hanging over the top. Well, if you got that much attention designed to him, Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, Cordell Patterson, they'll carve you up.
Yeah, what is the offensive counterpunch to that? Because I think we all assume Carolina's going to try to come up with something. I mean, Miami and New York couldn't, but you'd think Carolina will game plan for it. What's the offensive counterpunch to when they start focusing two guys on Kyle Pitts?
Well, I think you saw some of it, Andy, in the game. And part of it was Calvin Ridley still demanding some of that attention. Remember, Calvin tore up Miami in those preseason camp game practices. And so they were very aware of where he was in the game. He made a nice little adjustment with Ryan out of the pocket, caught that little short touchdown. But if you go back to the Russell Gage play, he runs a hook route on that left side in lined up tight, and two defenders, including the safety, closed on him because Ryan put his eyes on him, and that allowed Gage to get over the top on the post, and that provided the opportunity for the post route. You're going to get the same thing with Pitts now. So now you've got those three weapons, add Cordero Patterson or whoever else, maybe Hayden Hurst, but now it expands the problem that you have from Wednesday to Friday to get prepared for this offense, and there is no real answer to it. The only answer is, okay, I'm going to provide two guys there. Well, I've only got so many guys on the ball and four of them are rushing the passer. I'm starting to get low on people covering people in the back end. Mm-hmm.
Dave, have you seen anything different week to week from the defensive side of the ball as they've got more and more comfortable with Coach Dean Pease? Now, you saw last week you lost all your damn corners, but it seems like they're all maybe back to, at practice. And Deion winning NFL Player of the Week, Defensive Player of the Week, because he had one of his best games I've seen him have in a long time. Do you see them doing anything differently as the season has progressed in this game?
I think, Randy, it styles kind of make the fights, right? If you feel like you can defend a team, man, they don't have the – that many explosive weapons, then you might be willing to expend yourself a little bit with pressure on the quarterback and try to man up in the secondary. I don't think they felt comfortable with the secondary they've got because there's a bunch of young dudes, some guys that maybe they didn't even have designs on playing or now playing some. So Dean Pease, I think, has been brilliant in trying to find ways to just keep people out of the end zone as best he can, try to win on third down, try to win in the red zone, force field goals. So what they've been trying to do is they played a lot of zone. Certainly last weekend they played a lot of zone, and they kind of pushed things to the middle because Deion and Foye are really good at going and getting the football. They do a good job of tackling. They need to improve on that. I thought there was some missed tackles. I commented on that in the game. I think if they make a two or three other tackles in the game, I'm not sure Miami even has a chance to take the lead at the end for us to force to go down and kick a field goal. So tackling is going to be a premium the way they're playing. But what they're doing is they're kind of playing some umbrella stuff, and they're shoving everything to the inside of those two linebackers. I mean, Deion's the player of the week this week in the NFL on the defensive side. He had 15 tackles and a sack. That's kind of the way they've got it designed to go, have the safeties and the two linebackers make the play.
If you had to choose one position group, Arch, because it feels like through six games, and I hope this is, you know, what we all hoped would happen with a new coaching staff, improvements would be made as the season went on, but it really does feel like everyone's getting better. If you had to pick one position group that's made the most improvement from week one to last week, who is it?
Well, it has to be the offensive line. It has to be because it's such a young group. I think we're not really seeing much from the defensive line. Let's face it, you're not getting a lot of pressure. I think Grady's playing his heart out, but he's getting double-teamed a number of times, and nobody else is creating any pressures unless you come after him. We thought the linebackers would be pretty solid. They have been. The secondary's been a patchwork deal, so I don't think it's anything on the defensive side. And so when you look at the offensive side, I think you like the weapons when the season started. It has to go to the offensive line because you're not going to make any plays unless the O-line gets it done. And I thought there was a moment in the game, and it was late in the football game. You guys know what I'm talking about. Pitts makes the two catches to put you in field goal range. And you have not been able to run the ball at all in the game. They have stoned your running game. But you needed to get a first down to be able to make Coach Flores burn his timeouts, right? Or they're going to get the ball back with about a minute 45 and maybe go down and kick their own field goal to win the game. So you had to burn the timeouts. You had to eat the clock. And they got a first down and ran the ball three straight times down Miami's throat to get it after not being able to run it the whole day. That tells me a tremendous amount of resolve. Tells me the improvement of that group growing together. Now, you need to get McGarry back in. Spriggs can't play right tackle. That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. But he was a stopgap scenario there. But you need to get McGarry back on the field. I think that's the most improved place.
You've been watching Matt his whole career. You played the position as well. The last month, he's playing some really good football. What is the specifics? Like, what do you like best about what you're seeing from Matt over the last four games or so?
Well, he's had a lot of fun, Andy, with this group. Because remember, as you kind of get older, and you got to find things that motivate you and excite you. He's always found ways to excite himself about the season coming up. And this one has been because of how young the players are he's playing around him. He's gone from that young upstart guy to a star player, and now he's this old guy that can still play. But he's got a bunch of young dudes he's kind of teaching the game to. And we talked, I think, last week on your show where, you know, veteran, I think some of these kids are trying to avoid him in the hallway because he'll test them. Hey, what do you do against this coverage? Hey, what's this route? And so they'll go hide in closets and stuff to avoid him, you know, when he's walking down the hallway. But he's digging it. He loves it. He's having fun with it. So I think his attention to detail, if it could ever have gone any higher, is maybe higher this year than it's ever been as far as, you know, when to get the ball out, who to get the ball to, how to manipulate coverage, you know, how to get guys lined up properly, how to change plays at the line of scrimmage. I think he's taken it to another level. And you're right, he's been surgical the last couple of weeks.
Well, hopefully a week from now we're talking about an above 500 team, Arch. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Arch.
You got it. Go Braves.
Let's do it.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, brought to you every Wednesday by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. And you know, he brings up an interesting point, Randy, about when you have all those weapons offensively and you can actually use them, meaning like Matt Ryan has time to stand back there and use them, it just puts so much pressure on that defense. What the defenses were doing the first couple of weeks was they were getting home with four pass rushers so that they could have seven guys back there, and you couldn't get all that space and get those guys open. With the offensive line being able to actually protect now, which is really nice, you can use all those guys and all those different variations of, okay, they're doubling this guy or they're bringing two over here. It's been fun to see.
The crazy thing about that is they still can't run the football consistently.
That's true.
Against four-man front, they still can't run the ball consistently. But they're running it, and they're trying to stick with it and everything. But, yeah, they still can't run the football.
Yeah, we should talk about that tomorrow and Friday. Like, Mike Davis has been all right. Like, Cordarrelle Patterson's been good. I don't even know if Mike Davis has been all right. Like, I don't know what you do. I don't know that you're going to make a trade or anything like that. But
nah.
They got to figure something out.
Yeah.
They're not running the ball good enough. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, we'll get to that tomorrow. We'll come up with some suggestions for the Falcons run game. You can ask us any question you want, though, either on Twitter or on the text line. We'll answer it. Phone lines are open at 404-741-0929. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Any question, any topic that you might want to ask, we'll do our best to answer it on social media and sometimes on the phones, but 0-for-2 the last couple days on the phones. 404-741-0929 is the number if you want to call and ask an AMA question. Tomorrow, probably. Brian might be able to answer a question or answer a phone and get you on today. We'll see. We've officially gotten there, too, by the way, Randy.
What's that?
The grown men in my DMs asking for Wayne Gallman portion of the Falcons season.
Say
we've
what?
Gotten there.
Hold on. What?
We need to give Wayne Gallman a chance, Randy. That's where we've gotten.
They do.
Oh, you probably do.
They probably do.
That's probably do.
Yeah.
I just didn't, I know, week seven.
Oh.
It's Wayne Gallman time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The DMs are, you know. Your DMs stay more flooded with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just grown men.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You never know. It might be jokes. People like to share videos with me in my DMs on Instagram, commentary about what's going on in the show, all kinds of different interaction, and I appreciate all of it.
Yeah.
Just ladies, stay out of there. It is dudes only in my DMs, all right? Let me make that clear right now. Ladies, take your DMs someplace else.
I hear you, Doug.
All right? Go on down the road. Dudes, welcome. Hello, Wendy. How are you?
What's up, Andy? The four of us recreate the A-Team sitcom, and I'm going to have to ask one of you guys that.
I am an expert.
All right. What person do each of us play then?
Okay. Obviously, I'm Mr. T.
Okay.
Okay. Brian is going to be Hannibal because he's like the leader of the group or whatever.
Hannibal.
This is all just a take Randy's word for it situation for all of us, right?
Andy's gonna be Murdoch. Andy be Murdoch.
Is that good or bad?
It's funny.
Okay.
But why?
And then Wendy, you'll be Face because you he's the pretty boy of the group.
Wait, my name's Face?
He's the pretty boy of the group. So and you're the pretty girl of the group. So there it is.
Oh, there's no women in the A team?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
But my name is Face?
Yeah.
There you go.
Huh.
You have any frame of reference on any of this, Brian?
I've seen the movie, but like I couldn't break it down like Randy just did there. So like I know kind of like some of the generic names. Like I've heard them all, but I'll take the one that Randy assigned me. Thank you.
Yeah.
A-team deep dive.
Good thing
later.
Randy had that for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have. I mean, Randy's Mr. T, and then after that, we're the other people.
Yeah. Good thing is Randy. Next question's on fax machine, so you can just hang right here.
No doubt about it.
Did you guys jump out of your seat when Soler hit the leadoff home run last night? If not, what kind of big play in any sport does it take for you to get up?
I didn't jump out of my seat. My reaction was I made like, you know the face when you taste or smell something really gross?
Yes.
And it's like, oh, God, ugh. Like I was like disgusted that he did that to him so early in the game. The disrespect in his swing on that home run was like, oh, my God, that was foul. When Eddie Rosario hit the home run in Game 6 against the Dodgers, that's probably the most excited I've been for a moment in a long time in a game. Like, I was jacked up on that one. The Soler one last night, I just reacted. I was like, good Lord, that was disgusting.
All I said was, oh, damn.
Yuck.
Yeah, I didn't jump out of my seat.
Oh,
I
I'm sorry. His name is. I said his name was Face. It's not. I don't want to say his real name.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So he has a different name.
Good thing is we would have no clue.
Yeah, we wouldn't
exactly.
have known.
That would have been fine.
Good.
But that was
good
fine.
Good lie to us.
But I'll go do a deep dive on the A-team later.
No, you won't.
No, I definitely won't.
No, I
didn't jump out of my seat for the Solaire thing, but I am getting into the... And then I say a swear word.
But what?
I'm so,
hold on, what?
I know, I'm so embarrassed.
So much better to see that. That was hilarious.
I've become a clapper.
An
aggressive clapper.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting on the couch watching the game.
Sure.
And I become an aggressive clapper with a fist pump and I just
Now is that
swear.
Out of courtesy to your neighbors or like what's...
I don't know what that was last night, but I just noticed myself doing more clapping and fist pumps. Maybe it's because I don't want my neighbors to, like, you know,
what was
evict
like
me.
Peak sweary / peak sweaty level last night?
Ooh, that's a great question. When Charlie Morton got hurt. Yeah, when Charlie Morton went out of the game, I was like, oh, great, here it comes. I'm nervous. I don't know who's going to be coming out of the bullpen now. How is Brian Snicker going to handle this? How many innings do they play? All the questions flooded, and then I got
it's
flushed.
Amazing. It's amazing. I was mad about Charlie. But then there, see, a little cat. Oh, God, stop.
Oh, yeah, that started immediately.
Just stop.
That starts immediately.
Oh,
I was just, you know, it's weird because there was that period of time, it wasn't long, thanks to the Braves for announcing what was actually going on with them during the game last night, but it was that period of time where nobody really knew. Was it like, okay, was it a hamstring? Like, he landed funny? Was it something that he aggravated from the pitch that came back and hit him? It was only maybe half an hour where we didn't know. And then the Braves tweeted it out that it was actually a broken fibula and he's going to be out till spring training. It's like, damn, this dude had a broken leg. And then people started putting two and two together and it was like, well, that came back and hit him in the second inning, and then he stayed in there for a minute. He threw 16 pitches with a frat. That's tough stuff. He didn't know it was broken. He knew it just hurt, but whatever. To be able to gut it out, and he wanted to stay out there longer. That's what he told Snit. He said, I'm fine if I'm pitching. If I have to run or do anything like that, then it kind of starts to hurt. And they were like, I think we're probably going to err on the side of caution on this one to get you out of the game. Yes. But that's a tough dude.
This is an interesting question. If you were a free taco, what type would you be?
About the free taco.
Free taco.
I'm a basic taco. You know, I don't need all the other stuff all on there. I'm more, you know, you keep me as close to bare as possible as a taco.
Just a basic taco?
Yeah, I know. I'm
gonna go to the drive-through just for a basic taco.
You'd be amazed. Let me tell you, I'd be a good taco. What you talking about?
Hard shell, obviously.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Born hard.
Yeah.
What kind of meat are we talking about?
I'm talking about like the big ground beef.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, toppings?
Like I said, I don't need no toppings, Andy. I'm certified. You know, uncovered on mine.
You're more like a street taco.
Yeah,
kind
dog.
Of thing.
Yeah, man. Don't throw no lettuce and nothing on me.
You're a corn tortilla taco then.
Yeah.
Maybe a little onion, some
no,
cilantro.
I don't
nothing.
Need yeah, nothing, dog. Good. It's just all meat.
You're just meat and hard shell.
That's it.
That's the Randy taco.
No cheese. Yep.
I don't need none of that.
So many questions. Andy, what kind of taco are you?
I don't know. Probably a veggie taco. I don't have a good one. Some kind of veggie taco.
You talking about has some good veggie options.
Yeah.
You have the beans
nobody,
in there, the rice
who
in there.
Who eats? Okay, I'm going to say it. Who the hell eat meatless tacos?
I don't know.
But
there's people out there.
Who eats meatless tacos?
Maybe a lettuce wrap? Yeah.
Who eats meatless burritos?
I've had a meatless burrito before.
I've had a meatless burrito.
On purpose?
Yeah, I've ordered that.
What the hell? Tell me exactly how that order went. Let me have a bean sprout.
Well, every burrito place has a veggie burrito.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All the things in it.
You just order the veggie burrito.
What the hell is in a veggie burrito? Lettuce, tomatoes,
vegetables.
Cheese?
Vegetables. Yeah. Name the vegetables.
Cucumbers.
Sometimes they'll have some diced up zucchinis in
that
there.
That ain't no damn taco.
It's a burrito.
It ain't no burrito.
And you know what I'll get too?
What?
To make sure I do get my protein, I'll have them give me extra beans.
I bet you will.
Yeah.
I ain't eating no damn. Nobody. That's what I'm saying. Messing up everything. Messing up all the
palates. Here's the great thing.
Palates around the world.
You don't have to have any of it.
I ain't going to eat none of it. My taco ain't boring. More people eat meat than you.
Probably.
Yeah.
Still
so
boring.
That don't mean I ain't boring. I ain't boring. If you the one sitting over there cold
bland
and shivering.
Ass taco.
You the one sitting over there cold and shivering, hoping somebody dips you in some wheatgrass dip.
Guac and cheese.
Guac and cheese.
All kinds of beans and stuff.
And I'm going to still fill you up.
Well, at least I know what our poll question's going to be tomorrow. Whose taco would you go through the drive-thru for?
No, I don't want people to vote on that. I don't want that poll question. And I don't care what anybody out there thinks the either. I'm going to eat my own. I'm going to eat my veggie burrito by myself.
Because this is the thing about it. If me and you both stuck in a desert road down in Mexico, right? All right, and you go, and we both go to the saloon, and they got liquor bottles with no labels on them, and we just know it's tequila. Uh-huh. And we'd say, give us a taco. I say, all I want is meat on my taco, and you go over there and say you got some, you want a vegetarian.
Do you guys have any agave tacos?
Who is going to make it out of that saloon alive?
Not me.
Okay, then.
They're going to be making me into tacos. But I don't foresee that situation happening. What are you and I doing on a vacant road in Mexico?
How do we get there? Anything's possible, dog.
That sounds like a lot of weird stuff has to happen to lead up to that
anything
point.
Anything's possible.
The very Breaking Bad situation. You and me making meth in an RV somewhere. All right, we got time for one more.
Let's do this one. Andy, Randy, if you guys were in a pro wrestling tag together, what would your finishing move and your tag team name be?
Well, you know Harry and Lena is going to be our tag team name. Mm-hmm.
Finishing move.
You remember that scene from Along Comes Polly when the guy is shirtless, sweaty, playing basketball?
Yes.
I'm going to be that guy.
Yes.
And Randy, we're going to have the guy all woozy, and Randy's going to lift up our opponent, and he's going to have to rub his whole face against my sweaty torso.
I'm all about that, dog. I'm all about that.
And we're going to call it the Along Comes Polly.
And you will be the one wearing the little shorts, and I'll be the one in the full pants.
I look good in shorts.
Yeah, not them kind of shorts.
Oh, boy.
Let's get to the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaways of the day.
So many achievements
on Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day. Every day to wrap up the show, we start with Wendy.
My takeaway of the day, Randy opened up the trunk beer because he didn't want to smell bushy today.
Yes, I have to be somewhat professional in an hour. I mean, the only dudes can DM Andy.
That's right.
Which is, love it.
Dude, don't
and, Like myself, Dave Archer says, Matt excites himself.
Brian was a crossed fingers kid. And that's one of the best things I've heard in a long time.
We got a bunch of good ones today. Andy Jorge'd hump day today. That was something that was said. You can't be rusty dusty. Dan Mullen will be kitchen sinking his ass off this week. And Paul Bird says it's not just the chicks who dig the long ball. Guys do too.
Yes, they do.
All right, go Braves.
Go Braves. Let's go.
And Hawks, and Atlanta United, and everyone, if your little league team's playing, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Watch out now!
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.